Blog Talk Radio.
We're live, by the way.
Okay, you know, my first words are going to be damn Yankees.
Calling the tornado, Tony Pennicap. Connected.
You better now.
Yeah, what did you hang up on the intro song?
I must have.
Well, congratulations to Roy Halladay, the first pitcher since John Larson to throw a no-hitter of any sort in the postseason. Good stuff. Can't say the same for the fucking Patriots. Get rid of Randy Moss today or yesterday.
Oh.
I don't know what they're thinking there. They must have somebody in the works. That's all I can think.
Got to. They didn't want to deal with a salary. I don't know. I really don't.
Well, I watched ESPN today, and I got the lowdown because I couldn't figure it out yesterday, but it all started making sense after I started hearing little tidbits. There's three different things going on, I think. Well, the first thing is the draft pick, because Randy's contract is up. He's probably going to go to another team anyway at the end of the year. The trading deadline is coming up, and we have a bye week. So this is the best time to do a deal. And this deal gives him first, second, third, and fourth round picks in the next draft. So,
they get how many picks for him?
Well, they only got a third round pick. And I think considerations, I don't know, some other kind of considerations, but nothing involving a player. So it's just a third round pick as far as I read. But the thing is, Randy's contract is up. He also supposedly had a big fight with one of the assistant coaches during the last game. And another player came out that used to play for the Patriots and now plays for the Eagles, I think. And he was criticizing the way Bill Belichick operates his team when somebody talks back. So that could have a lot to do with it, too. And then the third thing is, there's a lot of people out there that could be available right now from other teams that they're doing this for because they already have a deal locked up. They just wanted to wait for this to happen so that other teams would probably start coming to them to offer maybe something better than what they already have. But I think Bill Belichick already has some player in the works, a veteran, that he's going to bring in to be receiver. And I bet a lot of people would be jumping at that opportunity. So we'll see. But I'm going to write an article on opposingviews.com about it. Get paid $10 to write it.
Hey, why not, right?
Yeah.
$10
But we don't have a guest tonight, unfortunately, and I'm slacking off scheduling guests this week. So it's just you and me. I figured we'd do a quick hit boxing MMA update. Maybe get done in an hour.
That's always cool. I have no problem with that. Anytime we get a chance to, just shoot the shit about boxing and MMA is always a good thing.
Yeah, right?
Better than talking about work.
Yeah, hell yeah. And we just had a big Ultimate Fighter episode. GSP's team won their third fight in a row. I don't know what happened in boxing this last week, but apparently I heard Manny Pacquiao had the flu, and now he's back in training. And what else did I hear? Oh, Ron Artest is talking about boxing. Have you heard that?
What was talking about boxing? I didn't hear that.
Ron Artest, the basketball player.
Oh, he's talking about boxing, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Take
a beating.
Well, suppose he's been doing it for 3 years.
Hello?
There's an article about it. Am I losing you?
I lost for a second. I thought I was going to hear the beep, beep, beep. I mean, we got disconnected. Oh, wait, there's something great just happened. I was on the hockey game to see Sidney Crosby, who I positively cannot stand, get jacked up and land on his head.
Oh.
I cannot stand him. I'd love to see somebody skate over his throat.
Well, of course, the big news in boxing, of course, Mayweather's back in the news as usual. Not really in the news, but there's been a lot of talk now. There was the first article I've seen the other day saying Mayweather may never fight again. I don't know if that's could go that far, but he's definitely got some stuff going on he needs to deal with before.
I don't believe that. And I'll tell you why. There's two things. There's money and there's ego. Because this, Rich. Like, if you're not doing anything, nobody's going to talk about you. Right?
Right.
I mean, right now, Mayweather's still getting a lot of talk because he's still, quote-unquote, an active fighter. And he comes out and says, definitely done, not doing it anymore, forget it, 100% done. He gains 100 pounds. He stops everything. People stop talking about him. And see, I don't think he has a lasting legacy that he's going to go down like a Ray Robinson or a Ray Leonard or a Tommy Hearns, where 20 years from now people are still going to be clamoring and saying, man, well, remember when Ray Leonard was coming out of the Olympics and it was so exciting, he was fighting Benitez for the title, and fighting Tommy Hearns, or coming out of retirement to fight Hagler? That is lasting. Trying to win it a lot with his mouth, you know. I mean, it's easy to take a politician that runs down his opponents. You know, Rich Bergeron is not the best host in combat sports. Boy, he doesn't even have a guest on October 7th. How can he claim he's the best? That is exactly. It's all trash talk, and it's all put downs. Well, Mayweather, unfortunately, has been brilliant, but not, you know, exciting. His biggest win was, his biggest wins. Let's take a look at some of the guys that he beat that are going to be the ones he's remembered by. Oscar De La Hoya, split decision over a guy who was pretty much a part-time fighter and wasn't really doing much of it anymore. Split decision, a lot of people thought De La Hoya should have and could have won that fight. Shane Mosley, 38 years old, hadn't fought in a year and a half, and Mayweather got buckled pretty bad in that fight. Ricky Hatton, smaller guy, very limited. Look what Pacquiao did to him. Juan Manuel Marquez, great fighter, two weight classes smaller, didn't knock him out, just coasted to a decision. Then you have guys like Arturo Gatti, great fighter, a lot of heart, but the fact of the matter is he was a limited fighter. You know, he wasn't, you know, an all-time great. He was a blood and guts warrior, but technically sound, no, not one of the greatest ever. Carlos Baldwin, very average champion, you know, just happened to be the right place at the right time. Dan Judah, Mayweather had a lot of trouble against him, and this is the same guy that got busted in two rounds by Koscheszu, got destroyed by Miguel Cotto, and has had another handful of losses in his career. Does Mayweather really have that defining kick-ass fight that makes him the man, like Leonard had Hearns and Hagler and Benitez and Duran? No. I rest my case.
Well, that's it.
That wasn't it.
Manny Pacquiao is blazing on. He's had a little bout with the flu. He's back in training. He's going to be facing your favorite dude in the world, Antonio Margarito.
I liked Margarito to that scandal last year, 2 years ago. I really did like him.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, we share the same moniker. But I liked him until that scandal. I mean, and it's not because he was cheating, because like all the times you have guys in baseball or football that use steroids or whatever, and yeah, it's disgusting, and it's an enhancement. But okay. Take a sport like baseball. You got a guy like Barry Bonds, and everybody's so pissed off. And Mark McGwire, and they were so pissed off when they were breaking all the records of Babe Ruth and Roger Maris and all those guys. But the fact of the matter is, nobody ever really got hurt because of those guys. Nobody ever got hurt. You know, the only thing that got hurt was the baseball. You know, that McGwire was juicing up and hitting it extra hard, or Bonds was juicing up and hitting it extra hard. In football, a little bit different of the story because use steroids to make yourself bigger, make yourself stronger, make yourself faster. You know, yeah, you can, you know, physically do more damage to your opponent because it is a contact sport. But in boxing, you know, you're using a weapon on your hands when you're hitting a person in the head with those hands. Now, we've seen fatalities in the sport of boxing, and they're sad. And we've seen guys, you know, suffer permanent brain injuries, guys like Gerald McClellan, other fighters that, you know, survived, that lived through it, but, you know, are living the rest of their lives impaired. And to, you know, purposely take an advantage like that, where you're taking, it's a risky enough sport as it is, and you're taking an extra advantage, taking somebody's life in your hands with an unfair advantage, is disgusting. And it should, I mean,
it just cost him $20 to get a license. Yeah.
$20.
That's,
are you serious?
That's what I hear. It's like total slap on the wrist.
Yeah. I wouldn't even call that a slap on the wrist.
I know. So pay your dues, and you can get back in the Y again.
Well, and like I said, and I've mentioned this guy several times on the show. There is a commentator. He writes, an editorial for Ring Magazine. His name's Jim Bagg, and he's more like a sarcastic humor writer, and that's why I think I gravitate to his articles so much, because they are sarcastic and they are relatively funny, and they do talk shit. And he was saying his wish list for this fight is that it bombs. If nobody finds it on pay-per-view, that it just absolutely bombs. And he said, why would he want something like that to happen when in turn it could, in a way, hurt the sport a little bit? He goes, because in the long run, it would help the sport. Not only not promoting a guy that is a, not confessed, but is a caught cheater like Margarito, it, shows that people don't want to support him, but it also makes Bob Arum step outside of the scope of the guys on his promotional roster. That we had to go to other people aside from Arum guys. We got to expand to the Mayweathers and...
Oh, we lost you.
Expand the sport to all boxers to make a better matchups in the future, more compelling, that'll help alleviate, some of the pressure on the sport.
Yeah, and, the whole Margarito thing, it's just... it's just unfortunate, the way that they just let him come right back in, didn't have to do any community service or anything, and there's no criminal charges from what I remember, as far as I know. They could have really done something big and made a statement saying, we won't tolerate this, but to let this guy back in through a loophole, basically. And to let him fight one of the pound-for-pound best fighters on the planet as his comeback fight? I think that's just a raw deal for the sport. It's like setting the fight up kind of gives the sport a black eye. If he was just fighting some bum, it'd be bad enough. But he's fighting Mankind. He's always going to be under the microscope for that. He's never going to be able to get away with it again. But he, just the fact that he did it the first time, Pete Rose freaking gambled on baseball. He's one of the greatest baseball players of all time. And he's a lifetime ban. He can't come back. And he didn't even hurt anybody except his own team. That's against his own team. And he didn't hurt anybody physically, but Margarito did. And what did he get? He gets a couple years...
That fight happened in 2009 with Mosley when he got caught.
Yeah.
And now it's less than just, he's already had one fight.
Ridiculous.
Didn't look like from what I heard either. I got some good news for you. You're going to be excited to hear this.
What?
I am now going to be a much better... I got my whole computer system back up.
Uh-huh.
So I can go on Box Records now. We can talk more. Let's see. This is kind of weird. I don't know if you heard about Andre Durrell dropping out of the Super Sticker tournament.
No.
Yeah, I just got announced. So Andre Durrell is dropping out of the Super Six tournament. He was supposed to fight Andre Ward, and we all know they're really good friends. So, I mean, the first obviously speculation when I read that was he doesn't want to fight his friend. But in Durrell's last fight, when he got the win over Arthur Abraham, he was beating Abraham pretty soundly, and then he slipped, and Abraham hit him when he was down and knocked Durrell out cold. He was out for several minutes. And I'm looking at it now that Gary Shaw is released a statement that Andre has some neurological problems. They've been advised by a neurological specialist that he cannot spar nor can he fight until he's symptom-free. That is, you know, obviously stemming from that pretty severe concussion of the Abraham fight. He was supposed to have that fight on November the 27th.
They haven't had any problems like this, but the U.S. Super Six
not working out because
having all kinds of problems.
Yeah, you had. I mean, it was dropping out. I mean, first you had then he was replaced by Alan Green, who was quickly got his ass whipped by Andre Ward. Then you had Mikel Kessler drop out with an injury, and he's being replaced by Len Johnson, who's going to be fighting Alan Green. Now you have Durrell dropping out, and he was one of the top-seeded guys in there. So now they have not announced who Andre Ward will be facing. So that's obviously that was going to be a good fight. Those are true, just pure fighters, big fighters. And it's a shame, you know, we're not going to get a chance to see that.
Well, I'm sure they'll find somebody good to replace.
Well, I hope so.
But did we ever have Danny Garcia?
Maybe a little bit more than a year ago, because it was right before his fight last December in Philadelphia.
Well, he's tomorrow night.
Now with my dad, I was like, hey, Dad, because he and Rich gives you a little bit of history about the city that I, you know, grew up in, trained in, go to a lot of fights in. There's several venues to go to boxing matches in Philadelphia. One of them not right now, is the Blue Horizon. The Blue Horizon, as we know, has been hopefully only temporarily shut down for a failure to pay taxes, but we're all hoping that it'll be open up soon, and, you know, I can go get some good fights there, because I really enjoy that place. Very electric atmosphere all the time, and so we're not seeing any fights at the Blue. The Blue Horizon is in North Philadelphia on Broad Street. Then you have the New Alhambra, which is more in South Philadelphia, not exactly that far from where all of Philadelphia's major sports teams play, the Phillies, the Eagles, the Flyers, and the Sixers. So on game days, it can get a little bit busy, especially if you're going to an Eagles game where it seats 65,000, or a Phillies game which comes up close to 50,000. Now, tomorrow night in South Philadelphia at Citizens Bank Park is game two at 6 o'clock p.m. of the Phillies and the, who the hell are they playing again? The Reds. There is no way in hell I am playing that traffic to get down to South Philly. Unless I had tickets to the game, which means I would be getting out of work tomorrow at like 2 o'clock and getting down there to get some drinkage on.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Well, I'll be actually watching the game from home tomorrow night because I don't have tickets and nor do I see sponsors.
Yes, you're breaking up on us tonight.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Do you have telespeecher?
Okay. Uh-oh. I'm looking at this one website, and it makes me mad. Because it has a picture of Margarita, and you know what it says?
What?
Tornado is still on a destructive path. How dare he? How dare they use that?
Two former guests are actually fighting on Friday. With Danny Garcia versus Mike Arnutis. Arnutis is 22-6 with 2 draws and 10 knockouts.
He's a good fighter. I think he's on the downside a little bit, though. This is a good step up for Danny, and I think you're going to see Danny take him out around the fourth or fifth round.
He's 18-0 already with 12 knockouts.
Yeah. Some of the knockouts have been very impressive.
And over in on the other side of the country, in Ontario, California, we have another former guest who's 1-0, fighting a 3-10 fighter, Donya Livingston. Remember when I gave him his nickname? All skilled Donya.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Well, he had a successful pro debut, knockout win, and now he's having his second fight. He's at the bottom of the card in Ontario, California, tomorrow night. Let's see. We got a pretty interesting fight in. Oh, we got the mismatch of the week in Argentina. Walter Javier Cruce, in middleweight, is fighting a four rounder. He's 46-10 with 35 knockouts. And he's fighting Gustavo Daniel Boggio, who's 7-5 with 2 draws and 2 knockouts. I don't know what his chances are there. Probably not good. Actually, we have a pretty decent card going on in Australia. Some interesting fighters, a female fight, title fight. Erin McGowan for the vacant WBO female lightweight title. She's 13-0 with 7 knockouts, fighting Lindsay Scragg, 10-2 with 3 knockouts. That's a hell of a fighter's name. The main event, and that one is a 12-rounder light middleweight between Daniel Dawson. I don't know if he's related to Chad. He's at 34-2 with 24 knockouts, fighting Frank Loporto, 12-4 with 5 knockouts, and that's at the Joondalup Arena in Western Australia. That should be a pretty interesting card. What else do we have? Let's see. We got some fights going on in Mexico. 12-round light middleweight fight on Saturday between Nobuhiro Ishida, 22-5 with 2 draws, 7 knockouts, fighting Rigoberto Alvarez, who's 25-2 with 19 knockouts. And they're fighting for the vacant WBA world light middleweight title. nothing really that interesting on that card other than that. Francisco Arce. I was fighting in Mexico as well on Saturday. He's the main event at Super Bantamweight, 30-6 with 21 knockouts, 3 draws, fighting for the vacant NABF Super Bantamweight title against Isidro Garcia, who's 25-7 with 8 knockouts, 2 draws. And let's see what else we got on Saturday. We got fights going on in Serbia.
Hey, your hometown.
we got a fight in South Africa that's also a mismatch of the week. The only fight on the card for the World Boxing Federation female welterweight title. Get this. 9-0 with 8 knockouts and 1 draw, Noni Tenge at welterweight, fighting Francisca Mbang, who's 0-1 with 2 draws.
Well, she's got 2 draws.
She's fighting for the title.
Hey, they shoot yours obviously elevated a ranking.
It's in South Africa. Oh, Kevin McBride. Speaking of the prize fighter, the draw is happening this weekend, Saturday, at York Hall in London. We do all the prize fighter blogs. I actually got one about Kevin McBride going up shortly on the website. But he's fighting Franklin Igobi, 15-3 with 10 knockouts. I thought he was done after his last fight, but now he's in the prize fighter tournaments. Kevin is 34-7 with 29 knockouts, 1 draw. He looks pretty good. He's a lot skinnier than the last time I saw him in person, sparring at Goodies. So, best of luck to him. I think he's going to do all right. Kind of a weird crowd. There's a guy who's 2-1, Shane McPhilden on the draw. Then Declan Timlin, 7-0. And Ali Adams, 9-2, fighting Matt Skelton, 23-5, with 20 knockouts. Danny Hughes, 7-1, with 2 knockouts. And Michael Sprott is really probably the best guy in the field. He's got a little bit of experience in the prize fighter tournament, too. And he's 32-15, with 17 knockouts. And they do it more like a tournament style. They only do 3 rounds each. And they fight three times, I think, to get the winner in one night. So it's a pretty interesting tournament. And maybe the Super Six should take notes from them. Because I think that would be more interesting to boxing fans, seeing that type of thing. It's more like collegiate boxing, really, if you think about it, what we used to have to do. Fighting, well, we didn't fight the same night, but it's almost the same thing. All right, what else do we have on Saturday? No, nothing on Saturday. We do have a couple fights on Sunday. One in the Philippines between Jerry Penalosa at bantamweight, 54-8 with 36 knockouts and 2 draws, versus Yod Sang Kang Kiet Chumang Mi. A tough one. He's 12-2 with 8 knockouts. Good luck. This is like a mismatch festival. Jim Rex Jaca is also on the card. I heard him before. Fighting 10-rounders, lightweight, 31-6 is his record with 16 knockouts, 3 draws, fighting John Yoon Choi, who's 6-1. And that's just pretty much about it for this week. Nothing that jumps out at me. No big title fights. A lot of mismatches. Let's see what's going on in the MMA. Still with us, Tony?
I'm still with you, man.
Gotta check every now and then the way things are working tonight.
Yeah. Here and I'm rocking and rolling.
I did read that Herschel Walker is about to be going into his second MMA fight on Strikeforce.
Yeah, they said his first fight would just be good. Didn't they kick you out like one round?
No, it was longer than that. I think it went on all 3 rounds, but it was brutal. You know, it's like the guy actually knew what he was doing. They didn't throw him in there against the bum, so. There's a lot of rolling around, not really interesting, very sloppy in both guys' parts, but he won. Just on muscles alone, really. He just out-muscled the guy, and he's in great shape for his age. And that's really, I mean, I don't know if you got to see the guys that we had on last week, but I put their show up on the blog.
I saw you something about it, and you told the one guy to jab more.
Yeah. The guy, he's good.
Well, like I said, I just really kept full computer access back as of like yesterday morning.
Yeah. The guy is,
like downloading videos. I was having trouble downloading pictures on Facebook. I was having to, like, the computer I have is the one I have set up for like my camera and all that. So any videos I do, anything I do with like DVDs, if I convert any VHSs, I have to do on one camera, and that's the one I have all the software downloaded to my computer. But then to put them on Facebook, I couldn't do it.
Yeah,
it was just loading. It was like too long. It was a mess. So I had a guy take my computer for like 4 or 5 days, and finally get it working. And now I can download videos. I can download just Facebook. I can watch videos a lot better, a lot faster, so I'm actually only kind of happy. I can look at fight news again.
Well, I streamlined fight news.
I've been flying blind on the show.
Well, I did streamline the blog quite a bit in the last few days. We got a new Ring Girl winner, too. I put her winner's page up. She's pretty hot. Especially for an 18-year-old. But she even linked it to her Model Mayhem page, so hopefully that gets us some hits. I noticed over the last few days we've had a lot more Ring Girl hits that I put up on the page. So we're getting a lot more contestants. I'm going to probably put a new page for the voting up for the fall contest by Columbus Day. Let's just go and say by Columbus Day. Might as well do it, even though the first day of fall is already past us. We got a lot of contestants. I think we got at least 10. So we got enough. We'll put them up there, and we'll vote again. We'll have the whole contest. We'll go till, I guess, December this time. December.
Okay.
And then we'll do the winter contest, the snow bunnies. But, oh, man, she sent us, we got her some discipline shirts. So she sent us some pictures with some discipline shirts on, and then we sent her the cocaine energy drink. So I was just, like, honest about it. I said, you know, I'd really like to see some pictures of you in a bikini and some cocaine energy drink. So she says, I'll see what I can do. And I got to update her page, too. She's got added some more information she wants on there. So she's been pretty good, you know. She's going to be a good spokesmodel for us. And I'm going to try to start using that more and doing more with those girls in the future. We're going to do a calendar definitely before the end of the year here with all the previous winners. I don't know when the cutoff's going to be, whether it's going to be this fall contest or this last contest, but I know we have at least 12 winners that we can put in a ultimate contest before the end of the year for the cover model, and then all 12 of them will get a month.
That would be cool. I got one girl that I got to try to talk into it.
I mean, a lot of the girls don't realize it's only half what you look like. Fortunately, we've had some pretty heinous-looking girls win our contest. Because it's the way you promote it, really. That's what's unique about our contest is you have to get your own votes. You know, we don't go out of our way to do anything more than really the video that we put out and put out a couple blogs. You know, so we get traffic from that. But it's mostly the girls putting it out themselves on their social pages or whatever. And marketing themselves, because that's what we want. You know, we're a website, you know, so we want to be able to have somebody that can bring people to our pages. Not only with your beauty, but with your brain. So it works out good for us, especially that one time when we had this girl, she went on the radio, like the actual radio, and put out like her own commercial a few times. So that we got like 3,000 hits in one day on the contest. So we're going to try to, you know, weave that into our operations a little bit more and do some good stuff with that. Because it helps both ways. You know, it helps the girl get noticed. You know, she can put that on her resume that she won this contest. And it helps us because, you know, it gives our sponsors something to say, oh, you know, we should work with these guys. They're going to hook up with beautiful girls to wear our stuff. So it helps when you have both the combination of beauty and brains and, you know, drive to get the job done, get the votes to win.
Rich, I just sent you an email.
All right.
The link to one girl that I know.
All righty.
Well, I don't know if you can open from Facebook. I mean, I don't know if you're like, you're not friends with this person, but we'll see.
Well, for MMA events, we're going to run down the list. We got about 10 here, at least. We got at the State University of Para School of Physical Education Gymnasium in Para, Brazil, we have The Revenge, IMC 8, on tomorrow night? Tomorrow the 7th? Today the 7th. Today the 7th. It's going on right now, so if you're not there, you missed it. We got Cage Fighting Championships 15, CFC, at Southport Sharks, Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia. IFF 1 Poland versus Germany in Voivodeship, Poland. Halloween Havoc 2, even though it's not Halloween. in Mansfield, Massachusetts, which I probably would have gone to if I was still living in Massachusetts. And we also have, I would have to make a choice. No, actually, that's Friday night, this is AFO. Saturday night, there's Reality Fighting in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Eruption, other place I used to go to a lot. Reality Fighting is a good show, too. I don't know if they still do it, but they used to fight with a octagon ring. with six ropes, and there's really nowhere to hide. it was a pretty interesting fight setup, but I'm not sure how they do it now. I'm not sure if they do it the same way. Also, as I mentioned, Strikeforce is having a big event this weekend. Diaz versus Nunes 2. And that's going to be in their favorite stomping grounds, the San Jose HP Pavilion. And that's Nick Diaz versus KJ Nunes. And I don't really follow either guy too closely, so I don't recall their first fight. But I think that's the one that Herschel Walker is going to be on. Wait for the word, I'll get back to that one. We got another one in Piranha, Brazil, Golden Girls. I don't know if it's going to be an all-girl card, but I hope so. They're not calling the guys Golden Girls. Then we have Fight in Tunica, Mississippi on Saturday, A Night of Reckoning 4, Empire Fighting Championships. Fight Club 1, KSW, in Voivodeship, Poland. We have a fight in Finland, Animal Factory. BT9, all right. GMC2 in Herne, Germany has continued, the city arena. Cage Fury 12 is going on Saturday at the Gray's Armory in Cleveland, Ohio. That's put on by NAAFS. And then, of course, we have the stuff going on Sunday in Japan. We got 10th Ring Jewels going on in Tokyo. We have a fight in Poland. I don't even know how to pronounce this. Podkarpacki MMA show, too. And then The Outsider is going on Monday. The Outsider 13 Rings in Yokohama, Kanagawa, Japan. And then the next thing is Wednesday. It's got a couple things. One in Brazil, Amazon Fight 5, and Bellator Fighting Championships 32 in Kansas City. And as far as KJ Nunes versus Nick Diaz, we also have Sarah Kaufman versus Marlos Conan for the Women's Welterweight Championship on that card. Tyrone Woodley versus Andre Galveo. Josh Thompson versus GZF Cavalcante. Eric Lawson versus Ron Kessler. James Terry versus Brett Bergmark. And Jess Buscal versus Luis Mendoza. I guess that's not the one with Herschel. All right. It's probably at a later date. So my bad on that one. Let's see what we got. So that's pretty much it, I think. Ron Artest, you're talking about him.
Rich, are you in deep thought?
Yeah. Trying to find
something
to talk about here.
We have, like, dead air for, like, 10 seconds, and I'm like, should I say something? I'm like, I don't know what to say, Rich was just talking. I was like, what should I say? I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know what to say. And I was like, I better ask him if, like, he's thinking about something. He's like,
yeah, I got nothing.
he's not like a friend of mine. He's a nice guy. He's very stubborn. I just want to smack him in the head here. I'm not listening when I try to tell him something important. We'll be, doing something, going somewhere. We were in a Eagles function a couple years ago. They used to have a big party for the NFL draft. So me and my one other loud friend were there, and that's the year the Eagles traded their first-round pick to the Dallas Cowboys. And we're like, we just sat here for 4 hours at this party, and we don't even get to see a draft pick. So we're stomping our way out. Action News walks by, which is our big news affiliate, and they're like, you guys want to be interviewed? I, like, shove everybody out of the way. I'm like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I got a lot to say. Anybody that knows me, I am somewhat outspoken. Take it on there. I'm like, I can understand that he traded. That was you. I think they wanted Merriweather, who went to the Patriots, and they wanted his other safety that got taken. I'm like, but you never, You never, ever trade with Dallas. You don't do that. I'm like, I can understand why you traded, but not to them. And then my buddy gets on there. He's like, damn it, you don't trade with Dallas. You just don't do it. And like, my other friend is standing there. And then my friend, he's like, I have nothing to say. We had a good laugh at him. And he sounded like, you're like, I got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I got everything. I am like the human mouth.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at Stephanie here.
Yeah, you are. You can see the photos.
Yes. Very nice.
Should we invite
her? We should take more scantily clad pictures.
You know what?
Then it should be.
Right now.
Yeah.
I talked to her. You know, she's a very nice girl. I see her all the time because she works at the Philly ballpark.
Oh, wow.
I don't think there's a person I've ever treated with so much respect in my entire life.
Oh, wow.
You know why?
Why?
Her father's my janitor.
Ah.
That's how I got to meet her. I'm sitting there, like, one day it was back in, I think it was May. And I'm in there to get my one raping people, which officially made me stupider. And, you know, they always say that dentists, they love to talk to you while they're working on you. So this guy, in fact, here's my brilliance. I got to go for a checkup, just like a teeth cleaning next week, which, you know, no drilling, no pulling, so none of that. But, you know what, after they grind on your teeth and stuff, and they pick at them for like an hour and a half, your mouth is kind of sore. I will be getting out of there about 90 minutes before we're scheduled to be on the air. So next week, expect me to be like, ow. But so I'm there back in May. I'm getting this wisdom tooth pulled. The guy's got my mouth shot up with like 3 needles. So I'm sitting there. Half my face is falling off because it's so numb. And he's got the pliers in the mouth, and he's cracking on this tooth. And he's like, so, you're a Philly fan? I'm like, Oh, that's great, yeah. Oh, you ever go to the games? I'm like, Well, he's like, you ever go to the games? I'm like, He's like, oh, yeah, so if you ever go down to McFadden's, the bar there, because my daughter works in there, she's a beer girl. I'm like, okay. He's like, yeah, you got to say hi to her. He gave me a general description of what she looked like. So I'm in the park a few months, about a month later. I'm drinking during the game, and I'm half tanked. So I'm like, I'm taking a train home. I'm catching a subway and a train. So I got like an hour and a half. I'm like, well, let me grab another beer. So I'm in there, I'm grabbing a beer, and I chug it. And I'm like, okay, I'm kind of bored. Let me go chug another one. I chug another one. I'm like, all right, this is pretty cool. And okay. So I'm sitting there talking to the beer girl. And I said something like, yeah, I catch him in the subway and the train. Oh, yeah, I'm done on the way. Me and Steve, I should have bummed a ride from her that night. I was like, yeah, it's in that one. Oh, Lindsay, that's where I'm going. I'm like, really? And then I went and I'm like, wait a minute. And I look and I'm like, brown eyes, brown hair, kind of looks like Jennifer Lopez. I'm like, is your name Stephanie? She's like, yes, it is. I'm like, I know your father. She's like, my father's a dentist? I pulled over my mouth. I'm like, see that tooth back there? She's like, no, I don't. I'm like, yeah, I had one there about a month ago. Mm-hmm. His father got hands on it. It's gone. She's like, oh, that's so funny. I'm like, it wasn't funny when it happened.
Yeah. So how your reason is to say, hey, listen, I need to take some professional photos of you, some scantily clad outfits, please.
Yeah. That'll work. I don't think if she sent any of those photos in that would, like, work. I don't think she's ever going to rank work,
though. With the motorcycle, he's good to go. That's good. That's picture number one, but she needs 3 more to qualify.
Dude, see how many she's got on that? Those pictures were from a contest on a Philadelphia radio station that she fucking won.
Dude,
she's got a whole album worth of them.
Wow. She's going to have to do her own self-promoting. Does she have a lot of friends on Facebook?
About 1,200.
1,200? That's good. Does she have a profile on Model Mayhem?
I don't know.
She should. There's some advice you can give her.
Rich, I got another one for you.
Okay, I got to send you this other photo. it's not as good looking as her, but it'll work. I think you're going to be impressed. I think you're going to be very impressed when you find it. You'll be like, oh, shit.
It's funny sometimes that candidates we got, especially in the beginning when we weren't really giving that much away. And now it's a pretty big deal to get even just the winners page, because we have quite a bit of traffic on the website, you know? Especially now that we got that freaking spamware alert removed finally, under threat to sue them. But I got that off. But in the beginning, you know, some of the girls that I was getting, I was like, geez, what do these girls think I'm giving away a cruise? They come from all around. And we had one girl who works for Playboy now.
When nice.
1 month. Bethany, I think her name was. Big bosom.
Okay, I'm sending you another photo. I'll send it to you right now. It's a Philadelphia Philly photo.
All right. I think your Phillies are going all the way this year.
I had a guy that I knew from Lock Haven. He's pretty much an idiot. But the Phillies have a saying. When they went to the playoffs a few years ago, they said it's going to be a red October.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's their saying, red October. Now, yesterday they were calling it a Doctober for Doc Halliday.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's kind of funny that the great
Mac,
because
he hates everything in Philadelphia. He's like, yeah, it could be a red October, but it's going to be a blue and white November. Like, I really just punched you right in the face right now.
You know, it's funny to me, the Red Sox, when they went against the Angels and the Cardinals in the same year, you know, and it was two red teams versus one red team versus another in both series. And, you know, they sweep both of them, too. It's kind of interesting. I mean, you always sweep it, the Angels, it seems, every single year when we face them. But the Cardinals was extra special because that was the first World Series in 86 years.
Yeah, the Cardinals are a piece of shit. I really do.
But they're not in it this year, are they?
No. It's the Phillies and the Reds. And then it's the Braves and the Giants. And then on the AL, it's the Crankies, which unfortunately looks like they're going to go 2-1 Minnesota in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rays and the Rangers. And the Rangers have already gone up 2-0 over the Rays in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
So Tampa's done. You go down 2-0 in your home stadium in a best-out-of-5 series, you are F-U-C-K-E-D.
Who's playing the Rays?
It's the Rangers. I Cliff Lee threw a complete game yesterday.
Cliff Lee, that is a game we should have got. That's,
well, Cliff Lee's going to be free agent this year, so God knows where he's going. You know, the Yankees and the Sox are going to, like, bid up his price to, like, $100 million a season.
Yeah, you know, the Sox is freaking Dice K. Big disappointment for the money we paid.
Oh, he's going to shit.
And, anyway. But the Phillies, they got a good shot, I think. I don't know. I don't know about Tampa Bay being done, though. Two games, being down two games, you know, I can't even never say this. Never after what the Red Sox did.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Boston had it on both ends. I mean, they had that 3-0 come from behind against the Yankees back in 2004. They basically won 8 straight games, you know, 4 against the Yanks and 4 against the Cardinals. And then this year with the Bruins going up 3-0 on the Flyers and then, you know, losing in 7 games. So, you can't say it's done, but you look at it, it's like you lose your first 2 games at home. You're in a best-of-5 series. Now you've got to go 2 games on the road. Now for the Twins are going to have to go 2 games in Yankee Stadium, and then if they're lucky to get another game at home. And the Red Sox, not the Red Sox, the Rays, in their piece of shit stadium. I mean, they lost the game's total score of 11-1.
All right, well, you're on the Phillies bandwagon. But I bet you're pretty pissed about the Eagles losing Michael Vick. That was such a bad game last weekend. Did you get to watch that? I did.
Oh, I watched it. You know, and that was, I mean, I didn't go to the game. I mean, people were asking me when I wasn't. But people were, they were asking me, like, oh, what are you going to do? If you were at the game, would you boo McNabb? Or would you go to boo McNabb? I'm like, why?
Yeah, nobody's going to boo
McNabb. I played here for 11 years. I mean, you look at him. I mean, the guy was, first of all, in 11 years here, never heard anything about, like, DUI or domestic, you know, violence or running with a posse and shooting up at a nightclub or drugs or anything like that. The guy married his college sweetheart. They got, like, three kids. You know, just a does charitable work for the Diabetes Foundation. You know, he visits schools. He talks to kids. You know, just a wonderful role model. I can't say enough good things about the guy. So people are like, dude, I'm like, what do you got to bad to say about him? You know, the guy, look at the quarterbacks that we had in like the 5-6 years before he got here. Rodney Pete, the Detmer brothers, Bobby Hoying, Doug Peterson, God knows who else. I'm like, the guy brought a winning consistency to this team. There's no reason he should be booed. He kept himself with class and dignity the whole time. He didn't pull a T.O. doing sit-ups in his driveway requesting to get more money or get traded. He publicly said he wanted to stay in Philadelphia his whole career. We traded him. He didn't leave us. So there's no reason the guy should be booed. The fact he got a standing ovation, he was very well deserving of it. The fact the Eagles lost that game was their own fault. They let the team run on them early. They got themselves behind. Okay, yeah, Vic got hurt. But Kyle came in there. He did a decent job. You know, but they made too many mistakes. I mean, now, Rich, I don't know if you ever heard of this. One thing, if you ever watch any current Philly team jersey that I own, I always have the name Tornado on the back. I'll get a retro jersey and get like a guy like Mike Schmidt or Pete Rose or Reggie White or Seth Joyner or one of those guys. But I will never get a current player on any Philadelphia team because the year after I get him, he will leave. I can get Deshaun Jackson right now. He'll be gone at the end of the year, even though he's signed for like the next 5 years. It's my luck. And I'll prove it to you. I got a jersey when the Eagles came out with their new colors back in like the mid-90s. And I had the jersey for like 2 years. I wore it through a game. The guy left at the end of that season. So I went out and got a Jeremiah Charter jersey. Wore it through a game, he was gone at the end of the next season. So I went and got a Hugh Douglas jersey. Wore it through a game, he was gone at the end of the next season. The Douglas and Trotter jerseys I gave them both to my dad, they both re-signed the following year. So I'll never wear a current player again. So that's just my jinx on jerseys. People have been offering to buy me a Jason Peters jersey and offering to buy me tickets to a game just so I wear that jersey there and he leaves because he's a 350-pound turd. Oh, he's horrible. When he first traded for him, he was like, we got the best left tackle in football. I'm like, is he the best left tackle in football? Yeah, Shaq is the best free thrower in the NBA. You know?
Hey.
Dice K is the best starter in the American League.
Hey, Shaq did pretty good the other night. He was running.
Well, what?
He was running. Shaq did pretty good.
What was he doing? How was he doing on free throws?
I don't think he has any.
Yeah, because he's like the worst free throw guy in the NBA. Great player, great rebounder, great muscle, you know, underneath the basket. But when it comes to free throws, horrible. Yeah. He always will be.
I'll tell him you said that.
Please do. You tell him Tony said it. And if you want the piece, you know, you tell him to bring it. Now, Rich, you're gonna become a very lucky person tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Because we got a little bit of time, right? We've been on about an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking everything but MMA right now. I am going to let you play 20 questions. Yeah, we're going to play 20 questions. And it's on my Halloween costume this year.
All right.
So you can rock and roll when you're ready.
All right, go. Am I asking you questions?
You got to figure out what my costume is going to be. Now, the concept is you got to ask me 20 yes or no questions,
trying to figure out what it is. Now, my mom, when she plays this, she's terrible. She'll be like, she won't even ask like any general questions. She'll be like, you're going to be Hulk Hogan. I'm like, no. You just blew a question, Mom. You got to find out. You got to ask general questions and try to get hints of what the person's going to be.
And I ask.
So, shoot away.
All right. Is it going to be fight related?
No.
Is it going to be sports related?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Is it going to be football related?
No.
No. Is it going to be baseball related?
No.
Is it going to be soccer related?
Absolutely no.
Is it going to be hockey related?
No.
No. Oh, man. Is it going to be basketball related?
Yeah. You're up to eight now.
Eight questions. Oh, I'm going to get it in 10. Is it going to involve tattoos?
Yes.
Oh, is it going to involve piercings?
Yes.
Is it Dennis Rodman?
You got it. And you got it in 10.
Yeah, I cheated.
I think that can be a good one.
Yeah, it will be a good one.
I've already started on it.
I have to get, like, Jersey Shore on the tan. With real effect.
Yeah, right.
The dark tan.
Well, you know, I got that one tattoo I got recolored back in August. So that's a little bit, you know, darker now. It looks a lot better. The wolf I have on my left arm, I'm getting recolored on next weekend. So that'll look a lot better. And then I'm getting, some of those temporary ones to, like, you know, put on my chest and, like, you know, like put the back of my neck and everything and all that. So I have a lot more going. Obviously, the piercings will have to be fake.
Fake piercings? Nothing to go
for. Yeah. Well, the fake rings. I mean, you know, I'm not getting my nose pierced.
All right. Wow. Go as far as you can.
I have one piercing on my entire body, my left ear. That's where I have my I use that for all my Philadelphia earrings, my Phillies earring, my Eagles earring, my Flyers earring, and of course my solid gold boxing glove earring.
Nice. Well, let's see what you got here. Send me something about the big guy in the blue jersey. What is this? I don't think I'm going to have a Halloween costume this year. Because I don't have a work to go to wear it.
Well, what did you say?
I don't think I'm going to have a Halloween costume this year because I don't have a work to go to wear it.
Oh, well, I don't think I'm going to wear mine to work this year. I mean, I'm at a new job. There's only that day most of our techs will be coming in. But it's still, there will be no more than 15 people there that I would see. So I'm not wearing a Dennis Rodman into work. If I wear anything to work, it'll be my Randy Macho Man Savage costume from a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then what I'll do is, because I'm having a party later that night, so that's when I'll debut the new costume. Yeah.
Party animal.
Yeah. So you saw that picture of the guy in the blue jersey. Who'd he look like?
Hold on. It's like Tony.
Looks like me, doesn't he?
Yeah. Is it?
It was funny. That picture was taken out in Chicago when we went to that game out there. Mm-hmm. And I was standing next to my cousin Dana when she was like, there were some of the guys that they were warming up. Now, I don't know who that guy in the blue jersey is. I think he's like a coach or a trainer or a manager.
Mm-hmm.
But my cousin Dana like zoomed in on him and took his picture. She's like, oh, my God, look at that guy. He looks just like you. Yeah. And then she was like, no, he really looks just like you. And when we put it in the computer, we're like, oh, my God, look at this. He really does. Like, oh, shit, really, really does. So I showed the picture to my mom. I pulled it up on the computer. I'm like, Mom, look at this picture. She's like, that's you. I said, first of all, that guy's fatter than I am. First of all, that's not me. She was, yes, it is. I said, Mom, no, it's not. Yes, it is. I said, Mom, no, it's not. Yes, it is. I said, Mom, you were in Chicago with me. At what point was I on the field with the players? You weren't on the field with the players. I said, exactly, Mom. And I said, and when was I wearing a blue jersey? You know I have a red jersey. She goes, that's not you? I said, no, Mom, it's not. did you put your face on a guy's body? I'm like, no, Mom, I didn't. I can Photoshop. I can't Photoshop that well. But what was even funnier was last Monday, the night the Phillies clinched the National League East, they were showing the players in the locker room, and they were drinking champagne and drinking beer, and they were spraying each other. Well, this guy, and like I said, I don't know who he is. He walks in, and about four players, like, dump a beer on his head. I got five text messages and emails within a matter of 10 minutes saying, are you in Washington, and why are you in the Phillies locker room? And I'm like, no, that's not me. I said, the guy just looks like me, or I look like him. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking to my boss at work. I'm like, listen, dude, I said, I showed him the picture, and I said, I'm going to try to have this guy kidnapped. And if I do, I'm going to be gone for about the next month because I am riding with the Phillies and taking his place. And my boss actually played in the minors. I think he got the double A. And he was like, listen, he goes, if you can pull that off, he's like, I'll wire you a headset and coach you, you know, on what they're saying, all the terminology. And I'll be like, you know, the guy behind the voice. And I'm like, hey, work for me, man. I'm on you with the Phillies.
I'm like, I get myself a ring. Just walk in someday and be like, dude, are you my brother?
Last
time I saw you, we were playing baseball when we were two.
Yeah. I'm like, long lost brother whose name I don't know.
Well, anyway, that's pretty odd coincidence.
Yeah. It's pretty sick, man, but...
Where did you get the blue shirt? He must have been a Phillies player from back in the day. That's probably who he is.
Dude, the Yankees are up 5-2, and I'm not happy.
No, who cares?
I'm sure you're not either.
No, I don't care.
Then again, I would like to play the Yankees this year and just beat the living shit out of them.
Yeah, I always wanted to lose, no matter what. What stage they're in, but I think they're ultimately not going to make it all the way this year.
Boy, the Texas Rangers are going to be tough, I'll tell you that. I mean, they're putting a slap down on the Rays. I almost called them the Devil Rays, and then they would get all mad at me. What about the Devil Rays? We exercise the devil. I'm like, yeah, you still suck, though.
Well, I'm sending a copy of this broadcast to the entire Rays team.
But or not.
Given the draft. So when they're done with the spirit, they're coming right to your house.
They can come right to my house. They're still garbage. them and their fans of them retarded cowbells. That piece of shit stadium with their catwalks.
No, I was just going to send the one Phillies fan that likes to be obnoxious. I mean, the Rays fan that likes to be obnoxious and yell out things.
Is that the guy who was like a big wig?
I don't think I've ever seen him in a wig. He just yells so loud you can hear him on every broadcast.
A couple years ago when the Phillies were playing the Rays in the World Series, and the Phillies were up 3-1, and they're getting ready for the Game 5 that ended up getting suspended for 2 days because of the rain. But this guy put the YouTube video out there, and you know, I just happened to see it because I think someone sent it to me. And it's like, Philly fans are soft. We're coming back. We're going to take you down. I'm like, I got to watch this. It was like an 8-minute video of this fat guy in glasses sitting like in his mom's basement. And he's got these big Olsen Twins sunglasses on and this huge wig. I mean, it was like a curly, curly blue. It looked like a Marge Simpson wig, but it didn't go straight up. It more like went down. And he just, hey, Phillies fans, you're all soft. You're all weak. You can't do nothing. You're this, you're that. Rays, we're going to come back. We might be down 3-1, but it doesn't matter. Because, you know, we got the best stadium in the baseball. We got cowbells. He's giving his goddamn cowbell. He's a crush. You're in this dilapidated piece of garbage of a stadium, but we got the best stadium of baseball, and we're going to beat you and call Hamels garbage, and he's terrible. And it's Cole Hamels World Series MVP, might I remind you, that year. And this guy's just talking all this shit. So I'm like, you know what? I have to respond to this. I mean, I have to.
So I wrote on there, I'm like, first of all, when you call somebody soft and weak, maybe you shouldn't raid the Olsen Twins wardrobe. Now, what the fuck's up with that dumbass wig you got on? And I was like, now let's talk about, what the fuck is a cowbell anyway? It's the most retarded thing I've ever seen. And your stadium's a like 20-year-old piece of shit with stupid-ass catwalks. Our stadium is 5 years old, brand new, is one of the best in baseball. So I just ripped at everything. Then, like, the Phillies win the next day, and he put, like, this video on there. He's like, yeah, it's pretty strange. You won the book. Yeah, and then you hear, like, one car getting, like, overturned. You're like Neanderthals up there. You're animals. Oh, I'm glad we didn't win just so the whole world can see how, like, primitive you are. I'm like, oh, now you're glad you didn't win. I'm like, hey, every team that has ever won, I think their fans have. I mean, the Lakers won like 3 straight years, and every year the fans were like setting cars on fire.
Yeah.
But yeah, and once
they just,
once 25 years, you got to give us a break. We're burning shit.
Yeah, we don't get too rowdy. I think they flipped over a couple cars on the Red Sox one, but I think that's because it didn't happen at home. If it happened at home, it would have been even more.
Yeah, it happens everywhere. Every championship that's ever been won since I can remember, the fans are down the street, they yell and they scream, they all dance, and then usually when somebody dances on cars, then a car gets flipped over.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, they actually showed some Philly fans on, like, World's Wildest videos or something, like from the Mets, they won the World Series. A couple of guys were like, you know, hanging outside and everything. And then I don't know why a guy started, like, two Philly fans started arguing. And like two guys arguing, a third guy just comes up and like sucker punches a guy right on the side of the face, like knocking him out cold. And the fourth guy's like, why are we fighting? We just won the fucking World Series.
Oh, there was actually a fatal case of a Yankee versus Red Sox rivalry in Massachusetts a few years ago. It was like a hit-and-run thing. I forget the exact details, but it was a big trial and everything. I forget whether it was a Red Sox fan or a Yankee fan that got killed. This is bad! Sports rivalries can get very serious.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Rich, I thought it was great. I was doing to Boston, and I was going to that game. This is before, you know, I met up with you at the stadium. You know, we were walking down there kind of early. And there was the Yankees won. So we're walking there kind of early because we were maybe in for batting practice and all that good stuff. So we're walking down the street, and there was a couple guys about 20 or 30 feet ahead of us, and the one guy had on a black shirt, and all it said on it was New York. That's all it said. It didn't say nothing about Yankees. It wasn't pinstripe. It wasn't even navy blue.
Mm-hmm.
A couple guys were riding down the street. They stopped the car. Yelled at the guy and said, fuck the Yankees, go back to New York, asshole, and go off. I said, you got to be kidding me.
That's a rough area right there, you know. I'm looking at shots.
Kind of impressive.
Coming out of a Red Sox game one night there. Can get ugly. But I think we're running out of combat sports talk, so we're going to
wrap we'll talk to that in about 45 minutes.
I know.
But I'll tell you one final part on sports rivalries.
Sports show.
Eagles-Dallas, big-time rivalry. Because Dallas fans are kind of like Yankees fans. Because, like I said, I've never had any really problem with any Yankee fans except going in the last year in the World Series. Because, I mean, I've been to Yankee Stadium. I said, like, my dad grew up with Reggie Jackson, so I own a Yankees jersey. And never really minded them before, you know. But now, since they had the World Series with the Phillies last year, I kind of find their fans a little bit obnoxious now, especially the ones that I know that are not even from New York. They're from, like, Central PA. So, but like I said, I never really had a problem with Yankees, but I always had a problem with Dallas Cowboys fans because they're, like, the biggest front runners in sports, especially the ones that, because they look at the teams that always get, you know, endorsed by their respective sports. Talk about baseball, always got to talk about the Yankees. Yankees, Yankees. You know, Yankees is the most popular franchise in the history of baseball. You know, everything's the Yankees. You talk about football, it's always like Dallas, America's team, all that bullshit. Okay, fine. So, any time a guy is from Philadelphia but he's a Dallas fan, that irks the living shit out of me, to be totally honest. And then a couple years ago, it really got exasperated when T.O. left the Eagles in a horrible, nasty split, and he goes right to Dallas. So Kensington are fired up for his first game back. I mean, they are fired up. I even did an interview for a local paper on what I thought of him coming back. Well, they're showing pictures of the parking lot the day of the game. And there's a young Dallas fan. He looks like a skinny, scrawny little shit. And he's, walking through the parking lot, and there's a still picture of him, and all you can see in the background of the picture is a foot kicking him in the ass, which I thought was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of my favorite anti-Dallas stories. Like I said, I don't like front runners, and if you're not from Dallas, fuck the Cowboys. You know, see, Rich, I think you and me are a lot alike. You're a Philly guy, and you're a Philly guy, and you're a Boston guy. Like I'm a Philly guy, and you represent all your teams, and so you're diehard with all your teams, just like I am, and and I think it would irk you for any guy that you grew up with in Boston to be a Yankees fan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So a couple of years ago.
I'm like Boston, just New England, you know.
Yeah, right.
Red Sox East, really, you know. But
I mean, I think that would irk the living hell out of you.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of years ago, I was at this fitness center, and I think I told you about that one young kid that was running his mouth about the Cowboys, and I mean, drew drills on the heavy bag till he almost threw up.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody couldn't do it. I told him to shut up. He's like, well, I'm like, you can't do this for 2 minutes, and you shut up. You can't say another word the rest of the day. And he quit after about a minute and a half.
Yeah, I used to scare with kids that got out of military school that thought they were tough. I said, well, yeah, let's do 10 Chinese push-ups. I want to see if you can do them in the right way, you know. And I used to do them all the time for wrestling. So no matter how built you are, if you have not done Chinese push-ups, which require you to pretty much, like, you know, go wicked slow and arch your back, not just do a regular up and down push-up. It's like an arching push-up, and you have to go very slow, and you have to control all your muscles in your arms to do it and your shoulders and all that. And it takes practice. I mean, I couldn't even do one when I first started the right way. And then, you know, the way that we did them at practice, we saved them for the end of practice. So, you know, the captain, it would be at the captain's discretion on how slow we would go with them. So, obviously, you know, you do enough of those, you condition the right muscles. Anybody who's out of practice who hasn't done them or doesn't know how to do them right is going to struggle with them, so... I never forget the first time I did it on this kid in high school, ROTC. And we were on, like, an encampment out at Fort Devens, you know, like, actually playing military war games type of stuff, you know, but we were in barracks just doing drills and all that. So anyway, I get this kid, and he's mouthing off to me, and he thinks he's tough. So I go, all right, let's stop and give me 10. And he's like, well, there's no slow. You do 10 right now. And I go, yeah, well, how about 10 Chinese push-ups? So you didn't last. I think you got through 5 of them and you couldn't do any more. And I was like, yeah, see? Not so tough after all. But anyway. So goes another episode. Special thanks to Cocaine Energy Drink, Prime Athletics, and our Ring Girl winner, Amber. Check her out. Winner's page is up. Go to the Summer 2010 contest page. You can find her. And it's going to be updated over the next couple of days here, so check that out. He's just going to be sending me some more pictures, hopefully in a bikini. And, as I said, I'm going to have the new contest page up by Columbus Day, which is Monday the 11th, coming right up here. And I don't know, you got anything else left, Tony?
No, I have nothing else really to say.
Yay, Phillies.
Hope so, man.
Check out opposingviews.com tonight and you can look me up, Rich Bergeron, and I'll have an article about Randy Moss. I'm gonna lay it all out on the line. I'm gonna give the 3 reasons I think he was traded now and what it means for the Patriots. So there. That's all we got.
Well, I'm going to send out some text messages. I'm sorry, now that I'm back to an almost normal work schedule, I'm trying to get some clients back again. I had a little bit of a problem last Thursday after we got off our show. We heard all that bad rain. My basement partially flooded. Only thankfully we caught it when there was only about an inch down there. Because down on the floor is my high-def TV that actually stands on the floor, my stereo, and then on the walls is where I have my framed, all those Rocky Marciano articles that my grandfather cut out and saved, and also the program. So thankfully, we got it when it was only an inch, so we didn't you know, lose all that good stuff. And that's the basement is where I host my Halloween party, so that would have really sucked. It would have been, I would have lost all my gray stuff and had no party.
All right, well, lucky you.
Yeah, lucked out.
All right, until next week, thanks for stopping by, everybody. Thanks for being such a great co-host, Tony.
Thank you.
And,
appreciate it.
Just to let you know, we had 22 live listeners last week and 47 archived listens.
Really? That's good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. We had a stacked show to help us, but...
yeah, hey.
It's one of our most popular shows.
I've got a better computer, you know, system going again. I can help with a little bit of my promoting.
Right. Sounds like a plan. See you
all next right. Week. And, well, till next week.
Adios.
Later.